This is an AudioTeach audio. Find out more at audioteach.com. Testosterone warrior mindset. Declining testosterone levels may be considered normal, but it's surely not natural. Testosterone decline is widespread in our society today because modern life separates us from the natural environment our male bodies are still evolutionarily programmed for. I see guys online saying, "I've tried the lifestyle modification route, working out, eating right, sleeping, nothing worked for me. My T levels were at dumpster levels, so I went on TRT and now life is great." While this may be true, usually it's not because their endocrine system wasn't capable of producing natural levels of testosterone. It's because their minds weren't capable of doing it. If you were to drop most guys today with low T into a remote tribe away from all the modern conveniences and tested their testosterone a year later, it would almost certainly be at a natural, sufficient level. Total T on my last test when I was 51 was 836. I'm 6'5", weigh about 210 pounds, have a 33-inch waist, and am pretty much solid muscle. I live in a remote beach community, so I don't have access to a gym currently, but I do calisthenics and interval train with my bike. I have no chronic pain, don't take prescription drugs, and I can honestly say that I don't feel any weaker or worse mentally than I did decades ago. Sure, I have down days, but that is just part of being human. And I'd bet your endocrine system is built pretty much exactly like mine. But Mike, it's genetics. No, it's epigenetics. If I can do it, you can too. Now, I'm not against TRT, and I believe it's appropriate in many cases. I just think too many guys with endocrine systems fully capable of producing natural levels of testosterone throw in the towel and opt for what they convince themselves is the only solution. The truth is, it's the convenient, quick-fix solution. But it's not cheap, and it requires a lifetime commitment. And while injecting yourself with testosterone might feel great and produce some results in the gym, it doesn't address the underlying reason you are deficient in the first place, which means you still have a dysfunctional endocrine system that is responsible for much more than just testosterone. I believe there is another option, and one I'm certain you've never read, watched, or listened to in any other testosterone program. Please keep an open mind and consider deeply what we are about to discuss, because it affects not only your testosterone, but your entire life. You see, for most men, the challenge lies in mindset, not the endocrine system. It's an amazing time to be alive, but sadly, modern life is full of danger. The food is toxic, the water is toxic, much of the air is toxic. Almost all of our personal care products are toxic. The political climate is toxic. The news cycles are mostly toxic, and we have a medical industry that thrives when people are toxic and sick, one that loves to treat symptoms, not correct root causes. These toxic conditions don't just affect our bodies, but also our minds. After all, a physically weak and mentally docile population is much easier for the authority structure to control. Are we being kept sick and dumbed down on purpose? Maybe, maybe not, but it's hard to deny this is happening at an ever-accelerating pace today. This brings us to the most important section, developing the testosterone warrior mindset. I refer to it as a warrior mindset because you literally have to develop a fighting, warrior-like mindset to protect not only your endocrine system, your brain, and your body, but the very essence of your being. There are forces at work you have to battle and dominate, otherwise they will dominate you, and your testosterone levels will continue to decline, keeping you in that comfortable, normal range of mediocrity many men suffer in today. You see, it's all about mindset. We already know the mind plays a powerful role in shaping testosterone production through its impact on stress, mood, and attitude, but it goes much deeper than this. The health of your mind will absolutely determine whether you are able to implement and adopt the lifestyle habits required for maintaining natural levels of testosterone, and whether you are able to implement until it becomes habit. This lifestyle depends on the health of your brain and a set of cognitive abilities known as executive functions. You can make plans to adopt a pro-testosterone lifestyle, but if you don't have the ability to organize and follow through to completion, this is a mindset issue, not an endocrine system problem. You can want to start living a pro-testosterone lifestyle, have robust health and boundless energy, but if you don't have the determination to actually do what's necessary to accomplish this, then this is a mindset problem, not an endocrine system problem. If you are indecisive and have trouble making the decisions needed to start and live a pro-testosterone lifestyle, then the issue is one of mindset, not endocrine. If you don't have the self-control to say no to junk food or force yourself to work out when the little voice in your head says, watch the game instead, then it's not an endocrine system problem, it's a mindset problem. It's so easy to blame all of our testosterone woes on the endocrine system when in fact, it's almost always an issue with mindset. The secret to healthy, natural testosterone is a vibrant, functional mind. Someone with a healthy brain channeling a vibrant, functional mind wields powerful influence over the health of their body. Here's the problem. The very cognitive functions required to cultivate a powerful mind are becoming endangered traits in humanity today. As you're about to learn, as a society, we are losing access to the higher faculties of our mind, which is having a detrimental effect on our lives. And when you start to lose access to these functions, not only will adopting and maintaining a pro-testosterone lifestyle be much more difficult, but everything else about life will too. All you have to do is look around at the state of mental health today to conclude this is true. Also, as with the other sections of this audio program, you can use the ready-made prompts to further your own research. To understand how all this works, we need to explore how humans think. And to do this, we need to take a look at the dual theory of mind. What is the dual theory of mind? Daniel Kahneman, a Nobel-winning psychologist, best known for his work on behavioral economics and cognitive biases, introduces in his book, Thinking Fast and Slow, how we think, decide, and make judgments, often in flawed or biased ways. His widely accepted and established dual theory of mind describes two systems in the human mind. System 1, fast thinking, automatic, intuitive, emotional, operates quickly with little effort or control and is energy efficient. System 2, slow thinking, deliberate, analytical, effortful, and energy intensive, involved in problem solving, reasoning, and critical thinking. It's healthy and normal for us to switch between these two states of mind, even though we live upwards of 90% of our lives in System 1. The issue is, this switching process has become dysfunctional in many of us today, causing us to get trapped longer in System 1 while losing access to the higher functioning faculties of System 2. The predominant causes are poor lifestyle habits that affect the brain, neurotoxins, and psychologically induced cortisol response. People who are primarily System 1 thinkers that have lost access to System 2 live an unproductive, unfulfilled life that often spirals downward into depression. System 1 thinkers will not be able to adopt a new lifestyle, no matter how much they want to. They just don't have the mental faculties to do it. Let's take a closer look. System 1, automatic and stereotyped behavior. System 1 thinking operates automatically and unconsciously, guiding your behavior through ingrained habits and routine with little to no deliberate thought on your part. Such automation frees up cognitive resources for other demands and is a product of both evolutionary adaptation and lifelong experiences. This fast lane of cognition allows us to jump out of the way of oncoming danger or make split-second judgments in high-stress situations. However, this reliance on habitual, stereotype-driven responses comes with drawbacks, as it limits our System 2 functionality and hampers mental flexibility that can result in rigid adherence to tribal associations, outdated beliefs, or social patterns. In other words, System 1 thinkers tend to follow the crowd and subscribe to hive mind ideologies. A defining feature of System 1 is its low energy requirement compared to analytical, energy-consuming System 2 thinking. For this reason, as we'll discuss later, your brain is wired to conserve its limited energy by favoring the less demanding processes of System 1. System 1 lacks any built-in mechanism for self-reflection, skepticism, or deep evaluation. System 1 allows us to go through the motions and fit in, but does not easily permit questioning of authorities, revision of beliefs, or creative problem solving. In The Indoctrinated Brain, Dr. Michael Nels cites the work of Francis Crick, the neuroscientist credited for decoding the helical structure of DNA, and neurophysiologist Christoph Koch, who describes zombie mode as a state of mind in which a person operates on automatic without conscious reflection, much like a robot following programmed routines. In Crick's so-called zombie state, actions and thoughts are stereotypical and habitual, guided entirely by well-worn neural pathways formed by past conditioning and external influence. Zombie mode is a state where personal agency, rooted in autobiographical memory, curiosity, and creative reasoning, is switched off. We spend much of our day in System 1, and this doesn't mean we are zombies during that time, because with a healthy mind, we are constantly able to flow synergistically in and out of System 2. The problem occurs when the switch malfunctions and we start losing access to System 2. Normally, System 1 is not bad. It helps protect us and it makes life easy and fun. You don't need to think about tying your shoes each time. It's automatic. You don't need to find your way to work or school each day because you've already learned how to do this, so it's automatic. And you just automatically know what your friends' faces look like. When you're at a music concert, you don't spend time critically assessing the situation, you just have fun. The mechanistic thinking of System 1 loops between your subconscious, the place all this automatic know-how is stored, and your awareness, instantaneously making System 1 decisions as needed to keep your life flowing smoothly and hassle-free. But this mode can become problematic, just like we discussed. It's a reactionary, impulsive state that doesn't know creativity, self-reflection, critical thought, strategic planning, and so on. You will never stop an old habit or adopt a new one from System 1. You will find it almost impossible to resist junky comfort foods in System 1. You will never be able to set goals, plan them out, and follow through in System 1. It will be impossible to live a pro-testosterone lifestyle from System 1. These reasons, and many more like them, are the reasons we have the ability to function within a second state of mind, System 2. Think of System 2 as the place we can strategize and plan the automatic life of System 1. So what is System 2 thinking? System 2 is deliberate and conscious thought. System 2 thinking is characterized by deliberate, conscious processing that requires effort. You see, System 2 thinking also consumes more of your brain's energy, and this is an important point as we go forward. It enables you to pause, reflect, and carefully consider options before acting. This mode of thinking involves sustained attention and the allocation of mental resources, allowing for logical analysis, complex reasoning, critical thinking, goal setting, and planned decision making. Self-reflection and metacognition. System 2 enables self-reflection, the ability for you to access and question your own beliefs, decisions, and experiences in the context of personal memory. Curiosity, creativity, and adaptability. A key trait of System 2 is its role in fostering curiosity, creative problem solving, and adaptability. It's your ability to engage in abstract thinking, analyze consequences, and weigh evidence. Resistance to indoctrination and mass conformity. System 2 is crucial for resisting indoctrination and mass conformity. A resilient System 2 allows you to critically examine prevailing narratives, spot logical contradictions, and refuse to accept absurdities simply because they are asserted by authorities or echoed by the crowd. As we can see, access to these higher cognitive functions is crucial, and losing access is detrimental to maintaining a productive, fulfilling life. Now, here's an important point. You can lose access to these functions. In fact, it's a growing trend and a serious problem in our society today. The degree in which someone can be affected by this varies greatly, but as we'll soon discuss, in upwards of 90% of the population of the United States harbors one of the neurotoxins responsible for diminished System 2 functionality. On one end of the spectrum, we have someone with sharp, vibrant System 2 functionality who would be able to excel in all areas of life, while at the other, someone who lives a reactionary, emotionally driven life from the repeated patterns of the subconscious, or as I call it, the automatic mind. These people tend to be rigid in their beliefs and are more apt to subscribe to tribal ideologies and exhibit hive mind mentality. Now, let's discuss the forces that are working to send us all to the zombie-like life of System 1 thinking. In this audio, I will primarily discuss the challenges we face, and in the resources section, you'll find complete strategies for overcoming the forces that are trying to drag you and keep you in a lower mental state. There are several brain regions associated with higher cognitive functionality, and poor health of any can cause access to System 2 faculties to become more challenging, causing a default to System 1. First up is the attack on our prefrontal cortex. Your higher cognitive faculties aren't isolated to any one distinct region of your brain. However, the prefrontal cortex, or PFC, a part of the neocortex, is considered the most crucial area involved in System 2 thinking. The PFC sits behind your forehead and is responsible for switching between stereotypical System 1 and conscious System 2 behavior. This means a strong PFC can easily pull you up and out of System 1, which is why having a vibrant, functional PFC is vital for maintaining a healthy warrior brain. The prefrontal cortex is responsible for a subset of higher cognitive functions known as executive functions, which include working memory. Working memory refers to the ability to temporarily hold and manipulate information in the mind for short periods, which is essential for reasoning, decision-making, and guiding behavior. Decision-making refers to the process of evaluating options, weighing potential outcomes, and selecting the most appropriate course of action based on available information and goals. Inhibitory control, otherwise known as self-control, involves the ability to suppress automatic, impulsive, or habitual responses in favor of more appropriate, goal-directed actions. Cognitive flexibility is the capacity to adapt thinking and behavior in response to changing rules, priorities, or environmental demands. It allows you to switch between tasks, consider multiple perspectives, and adjust to new information. Planning and organization involves generating, sequencing, and monitoring steps to achieve a specific goal. This executive function enables you to break down large tasks into manageable parts, prioritize actions, anticipate obstacles, and adjust strategies as needed, thereby facilitating effective time management and complex project completion. A lot of us today don't have healthy PFC functionality, and here is what's attacking it. PFC burnout. Executive functions are energy intensive. The executive functions of the prefrontal cortex are among your brain's most energy demanding processes and require sustained activation of neural circuits, which is why, as we'll soon discuss, homeostasis tries to avoid it. System 2 consumes significant amounts of glucose and oxygen and leads to the release of neurotransmitters like glutamate. While glutamate is essential for synaptic signaling and plasticity, excessive levels can overwhelm the brain's capacity to clear it effectively, particularly during prolonged or intense cognitive effort. This accumulation can disrupt neural communication and impair the efficiency of executive functions. This is why people that rely heavily on executive functions for work start to burn out after a while and revert to system one as soon as they leave work. In essence, the more the PFC is taxed without rest or recovery, the more it becomes chemically and functionally exhausted, diminishing our cognitive capacity and shifting us to system one mode. So if you're a student, knowledge worker, or anyone who requires sustained system two functionality for long periods of time, PFC burnout is a big deal. PFC burners start their day in system two, burn out, and then live the rest of their day and night in system one. If you've ever spent long hours on a mentally demanding project and at the end of the day find it hard to make a decision, plan, or solve a problem, then you've experienced PFC burnout. PFC burners are at a big risk for zombie mode even while at work or school, because as we'll soon see, when the brain is tired, it prefers the non-thinking system one, which is just the way we're programmed. Lazy brain syndrome. This is sending people to zombie mode even faster than PFC burnout, because they spend so much time passively consuming that the executive functions become dormant. Modern life encourages system one thinking by increasingly requiring us to use the system two faculties of our brain less and less. The less we use our system two faculties, the less they are available to us. In a high-tech, convenience-driven society, daily life has become optimized for speed, comfort, and low effort. The internet and social media encourage skimming headlines, tweets, or snippets rather than reading deeply or critically evaluating content. This promotes shallow understanding and quick judgment over sustained thought. Endless scrolling is a classic System 1 behavior. You slip into the loop of doom scrolling as the negative content triggers fear and anxiety, which System 1 is highly responsive to. More and more, we rely on tech to do our thinking, from search engines answering questions to AI recommending products or even diagnosing health issues. More decisions are outsourced to machines. Our brains, not evolved for the constant barrage of scrolling, swiping, clicking, and reacting, become overwhelmed by the excessive input, and our nervous system becomes overloaded with artificial stimulation. This keeps us constantly distracted and unfocused, a state in which our brains cannot properly encode new experiences into long-term memory. This, combined with hippocampal dysfunction, we'll discuss soon, leads to a vulnerability where we lose touch with our core identity, forgetting not just events, but who we fundamentally are. Former higher functions of curiosity, passion, and drive become distant, unreachable qualities replaced by apathy and a pervasive sense that nothing matters. We feel a sense of disconnection from our former personality traits and passions. But not to worry, this silly self-identity nonsense can be replaced with sophisticated algorithmic systems that don't merely respond to our preferences, but actively shape who we become. Social media AI-driven platforms use predictive technology to curate our reality, knowing exactly what will trigger our emotions, when we're lonely, and what will capture our attention. Rather than simply showing us content we want, they construct our identity by controlling which options we even see. This creates a manufactured reality and is completely reliant on a mental state dominated by System 1 thinking. Remember that digital life is designed around System 1, and the more you mindlessly use it at the expense of exercising System 2 skills, the further you slide toward the zombie mode state. Stress. Chronic stress, anxiety, and fear trigger neuroinflammation in your prefrontal cortex and can actually cause it to shrink. So the same stress that affects your endocrine system from the hypothalamus to the gene expression is damaging and shrinking the part of your brain that executes the functions you need to implement a pro-testosterone lifestyle. Environmental neurotoxins. Environmental toxins are a major threat to your brain health, this being especially true for the special parts of your brain we are talking about here that need to function properly for you to maintain System 2 thinking and have the mental capacity to experience success in all areas of your life. Exposure to these endocrine disrupting chemicals, or EDCs, has been associated with alterations in gene expression, neuronal connectivity, synaptic function, and neurochemical signaling pathways necessary for the proper functioning of neurons in the prefrontal cortex. Chronic exposure to endocrine disrupting chemicals has been linked to deficits in spatial memory, cognitive flexibility, and learning ability, and of course, reduced overall System 2 functionality. In other words, the chemicals in the water bottle and shampoo you may be using are neurotoxic to your brain and may be hindering access to your executive functions and not just killing your testosterone. The functional degradation of the PFC makes it unable to resist temptations, follow through with goals, or delay gratification, all hallmarks of effective System 2 control. Even if you try and start a healthy habit, like preparing meals or exercising, your PFC cannot consistently override System 1 impulses, like poor dietary choices or skipping the gym. You might think this is from lack of discipline, when actually it's caused by stress, neurotoxic, and lifestyle-induced impairments that have hijacked your cognitive control systems. Without restoring PFC health, meaningful behavior change remains elusive. The hippocampus. There's a part of your brain called the hippocampus, your internal historian, that helps you remember the past and imagine the future. The primary function of your hippocampus is to serve as a center for autobiographical memory, allowing you to store and recall the what, when, where, and how it felt of your personal experiences and thoughts you've collected throughout your life. It works by supplying the prefrontal cortex with the experiential memories it needs to make thoughtful, informed decisions. Your hippocampus is also crucial for other cognitive functions like motivation, desire, and initiative. Someone that has challenges with these abilities may have an unhealthy hippocampus. How the hippocampus works. When a notable event or thought occurs, especially one triggering an emotion, the hippocampus selects and encodes it using specialized neurons called index neurons, which record the time and place of the moment. When we sleep, the hippocampus transfers or uploads these memories to the neocortex for long-term storage, leaving behind index neurons as access points that anchor to the autobiographical memory content for later retrieval. Think of these anchors as addresses that point to the location of the memories in the neocortex for easy retrieval. This arrangement enables contextual and fragmented memory content stored across the neocortex to be reassembled during recall using these hippocampal access points, providing the memory access necessary for, among other things, creative problem solving, self-reflection, and the deliberate execution of our executive functions. When you engage in these System 2 tasks, the PFC relies heavily on the hippocampus to store these experiences. The PFC asks the hippocampus for your experiential memories to use for reference when making System 2 decisions, and the quality of that intel is vital for the quality of your decisions. Fortunately, a healthy hippocampus can produce plenty of new neurons every day through hippocampal neurogenesis, which provides ongoing production of new neurons. Unlike most other brain regions, a part of the hippocampus called the dentate gyrus continues to generate thousands of new neurons throughout your life. This ensures there is a continual supply of new index neurons, allowing for both the continued formation of unique new memories over a lifetime and access to stored memories needed for self-identity, curiosity, exploration, and creativity. This is essential for maintaining a strong capacity for learning, psychological resilience, cognitive flexibility, and adaptation to new environments. Productive hippocampal neurogenesis supports robust System 2 thinking, enabling you to process new information, break free of routine, form new memories, and make significant changes in your life. Poor neurogenesis, on the other hand, is linked to diminished memory, depression, anxiety, System 1 thinking, and the increased risk for neurological diseases. To avoid living life primarily in zombie mode, we need to dedicate time not only to improving our physiques, but also to beefing up our hippocampus. Yes, the hippocampus can grow and shrink in volume, which is one of the most well-documented examples of brain plasticity in adult humans. Because it is one of the most plastic regions in the adult brain, it's more vulnerable to what we are about to discuss. Without a fully functional hippocampus, it becomes difficult to retain motivation, learn from past setbacks, or recognize contextual cues that support long-term goals. For instance, you may know that walking relieves anxiety, but the memory of that benefit is weak or inaccessible in the moment of stress. You end up defaulting to old, impulsive coping mechanisms like junk food and social media scrolling, and you avoid new, beneficial behavior because the hippocampus can no longer support the cognitive bridge your PFC needs to execute this. The first thing we need to do is protect the hippocampus from that which seeks to destroy it. Stress and fear. Chronic stress, anxiety, and fear trigger neuroinflammation in your hippocampus and cause it to shrink. This is because these stresses trigger the release of cortisol, which when elevated over long periods has a neurotoxic effect on the hippocampus, reducing neurogenesis. Dr. Michael Nels, in his book, The Indoctrinated Brain, discusses how populations are intentionally kept in a state of chronic low-grade stress from being constantly bombarded with fear-mongering, anxiety-induced narratives broadcast day and night by the media. This literally kills neurogenesis in the hippocampus and causes it to shrink, resulting in dysregulation that can cause the affected person to default to System 1 and, over time, zombie status. Dr. Nels believes that governments capitalize on the fact that low-grade stress creates a more controllable, docile population and constantly feed us anxiety-causing headlines for this reason. Whether or not nefarious motives are at play, two things are undeniable. First, chronic anxiety damages the PFC and the hippocampus, making it more difficult to shift into System 2 mode. Depending on the survey, as much as 50% or more of the population say that news is a constant source of anxiety. This may mean as much as half of the population has some degree of System 2 dysfunctionality from news consumption alone. Sleep deprivation. Like the PFC, sleep deprivation has a profound impact on the hippocampus. When the brain doesn't get enough sleep, especially deep and REM sleep, the hippocampus's ability to encode and consolidate memories becomes significantly impaired. Environmental neurotoxins. As bad as they are for your PFC, EDCs are especially harmful to the hippocampus because they can impair neurogenesis of new index neurons. The blood-brain barrier in the area of the hippocampus that is responsible for neurogenesis is slightly more porous and may allow neurotoxins like BPA through to affect neurogenesis. The hippocampus is rich in hormone receptors, notably for glucocorticoids and estrogens, which play critical roles in its structure and function. EDCs can bind to or block these receptors, disrupting normal hormonal signaling required for dendritic growth, synapse formation, and maintenance of neuroplasticity. The reticular activating system, or RAS. The reticular activating system is like your brain security guard that decides what information gets your attention and what gets ignored. Think of it as a filter that helps you notice important things while blocking out distractions. You ever notice how, as soon as you buy a new car or a new pair of shoes, you see the same car or shoes everywhere? That is your reticular activating system at work. When working properly, the RAS helps you switch between autopilot mode System 1 and focused thinking mode System 2. It recognizes when a situation needs careful thought and alerts the thinking parts of your brain to pay attention, like when you're driving and suddenly need to make a quick decision about traffic. When your reticular activating system isn't working properly, it can get stuck in alert mode and keep you trapped in the automatic reactive thinking of System 1. In this state, the brain defaults more easily to the automatic, habitual, and often impulsive behavior of System 1, because it no longer has the attentional stamina to sustain System 2 focus for reflection or behavior change. This makes it significantly harder to plan resist temptation, or remember why the changes you seek are important in the first place. When you attempt to adopt a new routine, such as a pro-testosterone lifestyle, your RAS must be able to sustain engagement in this endeavor, especially during the early stages of habit formation. If your RAS is impaired, motivation can suffer, producing mental fatigue and disinterest, and it will be difficult to prioritize incoming stimuli, so you'll likely get distracted, apathetic, or stuck in a cognitive fog. You might also struggle to prioritize what's actually important versus what just seems urgent, leading to poor time management and increased anxiety about everyday tasks. And what causes dysfunction to your RAS that can keep you trapped in System 1? Stress. Stress floods the system with cortisol and norepinephrine, activating the sympathetic nervous system, causing the RAS to become hypervigilant, tuning attention to perceived threats and distracting you from your goals. Poor sleep. Chronic sleep deprivation impairs the RAS's ability to properly modulate attention and consciousness, leading to increased reliance on System 1 and decreased cognitive flexibility. EDCs. EDCs can severely disrupt RAS function by interfering with thyroid hormones, which are crucial for arousal regulation and attention filtering. Common EDCs like BPA, phthalates, and organochlorines can block thyroid hormone receptors or disrupt thyroid hormone production, leading to difficulties with attention regulation. The anterior cingulate cortex, or ACC. The anterior cingulate cortex acts like your brain's referee, watching for conflicts between what you're thinking and feeling and deciding when you need to slow down and think more carefully. It's the part that notices when your System 1 automatic response might not be the best choice, like when you're about to send an angry text and something makes you pause to reconsider. It's one of the main mechanisms for switching you out of System 1 into System 2. The ACC also helps you learn from mistakes by recognizing when things don't go as expected. When functioning well, it helps you catch yourself before making impulsive decisions and signals when you need to engage your more thoughtful, analytical System 2 thinking instead of just reacting emotionally. When the ACC signal is compromised, sustaining difficult lifestyle changes becomes physically harder because of your reduced ability to process long-term consequences or engage in deliberate problem-solving. You may intellectually know you want to eat better, exercise more, or quit vaping, but without a well-functioning ACC, you struggle to align your behavior with your values. It becomes difficult to track progress, feel emotionally connected to long-term goals, or resist the draw of short-term comforts. So your pro-testosterone plans could fail, not because of poor intention, but because you can't stay in System 2 long enough to correct course. When the ACC is dysfunctional, it doesn't switch you to System 2. So being stuck in System 1, not only is your willpower eroded, but the very awareness that change is needed becomes a haze. So what causes the ACC to become dysfunctional? Stress. The ACC shrinks and becomes less active under chronic cortisol exposure. chronic inflammation. The ACC is particularly sensitive to inflammatory cytokines. Conditions like depression, anxiety disorders, and autoimmune diseases often involve elevated inflammation that directly affects ACC functioning. EDCs. The ACC is particularly vulnerable to EDC exposure because it has high concentrations of hormone receptors, especially for thyroid hormones and stress hormones like cortisol. EDCs, such as organophosphate pesticides, BPA, and PFAS, can disrupt the delicate balance of neurotransmitters and hormones that the ACC needs for conflict monitoring and emotional regulation. These chemicals can also trigger inflammatory responses in the brain, which directly impairs ACC's function and its ability to coordinate between emotional and rational processing systems. EDC-induced ACC dysfunction can lead to increased anxiety and depression, difficulty learning from mistakes, poor emotional regulation, and trouble recognizing when automatic responses are inappropriate. Individuals may struggle with cognitive flexibility, becoming stuck in repetitive thought patterns or behaviors. They might also experience increased rumination, difficulty adapting to change, and problems with impulse control. This dysfunction keeps people trapped in System 1 thinking because the ACC can no longer effectively signal when situations require more careful, deliberate analysis. The amygdala. The amygdala is your brain's alarm system, constantly scanning for danger and triggering your fight or flight response when threats are detected. It's designed to keep you safe by reacting quickly to potential dangers, like jumping back when you see a snake or feeling your heart race before a big presentation. The amygdala governs emotional salience, fear processing, and threat detection, functions that typically reside in System 1, and its influence on System 2 performance is profound, especially when overactive. Chronic stress, EDCs, or hormonal disruption can sensitize the amygdala, making the brain overinterpret normal challenges like trying new lifestyle behaviors as threats. When this happens, fear, anxiety, and avoidance dominate behavior. You may sabotage your pro-testosterone lifestyle changes unconsciously, interpreting them as overwhelming or unsafe, even if they're beneficial. This fear-based override pushes the brain into reactive, impulsive modes, sidelining the rational planning required for sustained change. Additionally, a hyperactive amygdala disrupts communication with the prefrontal cortex, making it harder for System 2 to regulate emotions or override impulsive behaviors. If you are trying to cut out sugar or alcohol, for example, you may feel emotionally hijacked during cravings or social stress. The emotional charge generated by the amygdala overwhelms the reflective, future-oriented reasoning needed for self-control, so you give in to the unhealthy urges. Amygdala dysfunction leads to a feedback loop where perceived threats block behavior change, which then leads to failure and increased stress, further reinforcing System 1 emotional dominance over System 2 rationality. So, what causes the amygdala to become hyper? Stress. Under stress, the amygdala becomes hyperactive, especially with prolonged or traumatic stress. It hijacks control from the prefrontal cortex and biases decision-making toward fear, avoidance, or aggression. Studies show that chronically stressed individuals have a larger and more reactive amygdala that is linked to poor emotional regulation and increased anxiety disorders. EDCs. The amygdala is extremely sensitive to EDC exposure. Chemicals like BPA, phthalates, and organochlorines can alter the development and function of the amygdala by disrupting sex hormones and stress hormone pathways. These disruptions can lead to structural changes in the amygdala, making it hyperactive to perceived threats. Additionally, EDCs can interfere with the communication between the amygdala and prefrontal cortex, the brain region responsible for system 2 thinking and rational decision making, making it difficult to problem solve effectively or adopt new lifestyle habits. So, as we can see, it's not just about willpower. When these brain regions are disrupted by stress, toxins, or lifestyle habits, system 2 processes become less accessible. As this happens, everything about life becomes more difficult and frustrating. Your success for raising testosterone through lifestyle depends not just on your intention, but on protecting your brain's ability to express the higher cognitive functions to see it through. In the resources section, I provided plans and coaching prompts you can use to create programs for all of these brain regions. The lifestyle and chemical threats we've just discussed are committing more and more people to a life of System 1 thinking and all the downsides that go with it. But we need to discuss one more force that tries to keep you in System 1, one that you may struggle with daily and a powerful player in the dual theory of mind. Now you are aware of several forces that can prevent you from accessing your higher cognitive faculties. But there is one more powerful force in your life that would be happy and satisfied if it could keep you in System 1 forever. Of course, I'm talking about homeostasis. I'm going to start this section by stating a truth. Your brain is lazy and it doesn't like to think too much. And if it gets its way, your life could devolve into a dull, emotionally driven, and unfulfilling place that will never experience the joys of a rewarding pro-testosterone lifestyle. Now, don't hate on me yet, because my brain is the exact same way. In fact, all human brains are. It's just how we're built. Our brains were built for survival in small, tribal, immediate return environments, and not the abstract, long-term, and artificial complexity of modern life. For this reason, there's a growing conversation in neuroscience and psychology today asking whether or not homeostasis is mismatched with the demands of our modern life, especially when it interferes with sustained System 2 thinking. While the experts debate, I'll take a leap and tell you why homeostasis is a mismatch and a threat, and why you should make a conscious effort to manage it for the sake of living a good life. Homeostasis is a key player in this game, and the first culprit we have to deal with in our quest to maintain a fit warrior brain, because it is a fundamental evolutionary feature in all of us. Do you ever feel like no matter how hard you try to do the things that will advance you in life, there is always something, a part of yourself, that holds you back? The whisper in your head that tells you to sleep in and not go to the gym today because it's cold outside. The fleeting thought that justifies so easily why eating that tasty junk food is no big deal, and anyway, tomorrow you can start your healthy diet. The little urge within you to scroll Instagram instead of work toward your goals. The inner critic within that may be, even now, trying to convince you not to implement anything you're going to learn here because, well, it probably won't work anyway. This part of you is sneaky and knows how to get its way with you because it knows all of your wants, fears, and desires. It has its own innate intelligence, its own mind, and is highly capable of going about your life with very little conscious input from you. While most people believe that they are the ones in control of their lives, the truth is many go through life acting out repetitious, patterned subconscious programming, unaware that they are competing with a part of themselves that is also making decisions. And working with your amygdala, this part of you is a force to be reckoned with. You might want to rise early and go for a run, but if that part of you would rather stay warm and comfy in bed, you won't go. You can have the intention to start coding your new app, but if that part of you doesn't feel like it, you'll probably never begin. If what you want is not what the other part of you wants, most of the time you will lose if you don't stand your ground. This other part of you is one more reason you avoid doing the things that you consciously know you should do to improve your life. It is what may be holding you back from living the life you desire, and it has great power over you. Bodily intelligence. Of course, this other part of you is your own body, which includes your nervous system and your brain. From here on out, I'll just refer to it simply as the body. The first thing you should know is that your body has its very own agenda, and it is very clever in the execution of it. You see, your body possesses its own innate intelligence, the vital force and self-healing energy that animates you. This intelligence is your body's automatic, subconscious capacity to regulate physiology, adapt to stressors, and prioritize healing and survival, even when you are unaware of what is happening. This innate intelligence is why you don't need to think about breathing to breathe. It's why you don't have to remember to operate your heart or kidneys or your digestion. It's what heals cuts and makes bruises disappear. It's why you can fall asleep and not die after you lose consciousness each night. It's almost as if your body has a mind of its own that operates without your conscious awareness. And you know what? It does. Your own subconscious mind, which is why it knows all your deepest secrets, and it won't hesitate for an instant to use what it knows to convince you not to try new things, take chances, and leave your comfort zone. This is all because of homeostasis. Homeostasis is the body's autopilot system for maintaining stability, conserving energy, and resisting change. It's one reason why, if you don't tell your body to make testosterone, it won't. It evolved as a survival mechanism and is beneficial in many ways, but the problem is it hasn't adapted to modern life because it constantly tries to conserve energy by powering down the higher function centers of the brain and defaulting to the reactive, patterned thinking of System 1, which discourages your ability to implement beneficial changes in your life, like, for example, starting and maintaining a new pro-testosterone lifestyle. Just as your body seeks to maintain physical balance through homeostasis, Your brain gravitates toward psychological stability by relying on established beliefs, routines, and automatic responses. Homeostatic thinking refers to your brain's tendency to maintain cognitive and emotional equilibrium by favoring familiar patterns, minimizing mental effort, and resisting changes that might disrupt established mental models. This is why your brain prefers System 1. It just wants to keep comfortable and assure its survival, and it surely doesn't care about adopting that pro-testosterone lifestyle, which is why you will need to exert sustained effort to adopt it. Yes, those little whispers in your head encouraging you to go ahead and sleep in and put off the gym is your body's attempt to keep you right where you are. And as we all know, it is very good at persuasion. The difference between homeostatic thinking and System 1. Think of your brain as having two different but related ways of operating automatically. System 1 thinking is like your brain's autopilot mode. It's the part that lets you instantly recognize your friend's face in the crowd, automatically duck when something flies at your head, or immediately feel annoyed when someone cuts in line. This system is all about the mechanics of quick thinking, like pattern recognition, snap judgments, and instinctive reactions that happen without you having to consciously think about them. Homeostatic thinking is the deeper reason why your brain loves using that System 1 autopilot mode so much. Just like your body tries to maintain stable temperature and heart rate, your mind constantly works to maintain psychological balance, avoid mental stress, and preserve mental energy. This drive for mental stability is what motivates you to rely on those quick System 1 responses in the first place. For example, when facing a complex decision, homeostatic thinking pushes you toward familiar patterns and easy answers of System 1 heuristics because they feel safer and require less mental energy. So while System 1 is the tool your brain uses for automatic thinking, homeostatic thinking is the underlying motivation that makes you want to use that tool to keep your mental world feeling stable and predictable. Something, of course, we are not even consciously aware of. In other words, your brain motivates you to operate in System 1 thinking because despite comprising only about 2% of your body weight, your brain consumes approximately 20% of your body's total energy, and the very nature of homeostasis is to conserve that energy as much as possible. This is why our brain has a natural tendency to be lazy if we let it. It is an evolutionary feature of homeostasis. So yes, your own brain demotivates you and attempts to dissuade you from doing what deep inside you know you should do. After all, it's much easier to just opt for testosterone replacement therapy than it is to make all those troublesome, energy-consuming lifestyle changes. And remember this, homeostasis will always have reasons to justify the easy way out. When engaging in complex cognitive two tasks like problem solving, critical analysis, or learning new concepts, our brain requires significantly more glucose and oxygen than when operating on autopilot, which is why the homeostasis-seeking body will try to keep you in the cognitively lower power, lower functioning System 1. This explains why many people avoid intellectual challenges, and gravitate toward activities that provide immediate mental comfort, like scrolling through social media, watching television, or engaging in familiar routines that don't tax the brain's resources. To put it more plainly, homeostasis can literally dumb us down if we let it. Many never reach their full potential because they are trapped in System 1 thinking, pushed there through homeostasis, causing them to take the path of least resistance, avoid discomfort, and resist beneficial change. You see, it works like this. Our brains have evolved to perform these amazing System 2 functions, but homeostasis is right there, always trying to cut the power supply if allowed. It's almost as if you have to work for and put effort into developing your System 2 abilities, and that, my friend, is exactly what you need to do. Don't let homeostasis pull you down, because if you don't push back, it will pull you down. One of the big granddaddy secrets to life is your higher cognitive functions are everything when it comes to living a productive, fulfilled, and satisfying life. Healthy System 2 functionality is a prerequisite for an enriched life. It opens the doors of opportunity otherwise shut to those who dwell in the reactionary, emotional, and automatic world of System 1. As we've seen all throughout this journey, two of the most persistent and powerful enemies we face are chronic stress and endocrine-disrupting chemicals. If all this seems overwhelming and you don't know where to start, start with removing the neurotoxins and stress from your life. It would be a System 1 thinking error to assume that EDCs and/or stress is not affecting your cognitive function at this very moment. Contamination with endocrine-disrupting chemicals is widespread in the U.S. population and is considered a significant public health concern. Over 90% of the people tested in the U.S. have detectable levels of BPA in their urine. Similar widespread detection is found for other EDCs, such as phthalates and parabens. Chronic stress and anxiety are extremely widespread in the United States, and the trend is both concerning and growing. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, about 31% of U.S. adults experience an anxiety disorder at some point in their lives, and over 48 million adults had an anxiety disorder in the past year. According to the American Psychological Association, over 75% of adults report experiencing at least one symptom of stress, and around 1 in 4 Americans report feeling extreme stress on a regular basis. And the kids are a mess. A 2023 CDC report noted record high levels of mental health issues in teens, with nearly 60% of teen girls and 30% of teen boys reporting feeling persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. We know EDCs and stress can damage not just one, but several regions of the brain, causing System 2 dysfunction and sending people into a zombie-like existence. Everything we discussed is well documented. All you have to do is use the ready-made prompts I provided to prove to yourself that the following is true. Chronic exposure to neurotoxins, sustained psychological stresses, and poor lifestyle habits are increasingly impairing key brain regions like the prefrontal cortex and hippocampus. This degradation in cognitive function weakens attention, memory, and emotional regulation, pushing individuals to rely more heavily on automatic, reactive System 1 thinking. As a result, many struggle to engage in the reflective, intentional processes of System 2 that are essential for making thoughtful decisions, breaking unhealthy habits, and pursuing meaningful, productive lives. This is the pandemic of our lifetime and one that is not talked about. How can a nation prosper when its citizens are losing access to their higher mental faculties at an alarming rate? I believe dysfunctional System 2 faculties is one big reason why many guys today cannot squeeze natural testosterone levels out of an otherwise normal endocrine system. An endocrine system not otherwise physically damaged or seriously diseased can make plentiful natural testosterone based on the body's perceived needs. So, remove the endocrine disruptors and neurotoxins from your body and from your life. Remove psychological stresses from your life. Sharpen your System 2 faculties. Tell your body to make more testosterone by doing the things that convince it to make testosterone. Because of homeostasis, it won't unless you do. Feed it the raw ingredients it needs to manufacture testosterone, not a few, but all, consistently. Deep, restful sleep is absolutely required and should be a top priority. Move, act like, and project the confidence and courage of someone who has high testosterone. Become a testosterone warrior, and there is no way you will not see results. Someone with a healthy System 2 functionality can most certainly do what needs to be done to achieve this. Commit today to cultivating a testosterone warrior mindset by protecting and sharpening your System 2 faculties, which in turn you can use not only to increase your testosterone, but improve all areas of your life. In the resources section, I've provided strategies to help you strengthen your endocrine system and sharpen your System 2 functionality, which can assist you in finding success at achieving natural testosterone production and becoming a testosterone warrior. Thank you so much for your attention.